This is Below the Line. All right. Episode 1, Below the Line. It felt only fitting for me to spend a few minutes in this first episode to kick off this podcast telling you a little bit about myself and a little bit of why I decided to start this podcast, as well as a little bit on the what and what the podcast will cover. So I'll break it down in that order. A little bit on myself. My name is James Becerra, and I am an investor, advisor, founder, general startup helper here in San Francisco, California. And I have been blessed with getting to meet some of the smartest, brightest, most insightful individuals when it comes to building companies in the world, in my career. And it's been so valuable to me to get to chat with founders and mentors, advisors, peers, people that I admire, and just get to have a 30-minute conversation with and hear the real versions of a lot of the stories that you get partial versions of publicly. In other words, you get 10% of the story in a news article or a online interview, but you miss out on 90% of, you know, the real version of the story and the meat that I found so meaningful as a founder myself. A few years ago, I sold a company, and the above-the-line version would be that I sold the company to Airbnb. The below-the-line version, you know, the other 90% of that story that I don't necessarily talk about, but I certainly think a lot about, is that it was a tumultuous experience to build and sell a company, especially the way that we went about doing it. In about 4 years into the building the company, it was valued at about $400 million, and we were flying high. And it was through a lot of hard work, a lot of luck, we got to that point. But in the last 18 months of the company's life, so I spent about 6 years of building it, it kind of crumbled right in front of me. And fell apart right before my eyes. And what I experienced was this solitary journey of just feeling like, God, no one has been through anything like this. And I certainly did not feel like I had people around me that had been through anything like that. And it was this journey of building something that was very close to being really significant, then to selling it for a fraction of the capital that we raised for it, and essentially a fire sale, that it was this journey that I went on and felt like I could have really used someone to help guide me, help me avoid mistakes that I made, and or just be there in the foxhole with me to give me the courage through some really harrowing moments. And it wasn't until after I got on the other side of that experience that I learned from founder after founder just reach out telling me about their own experience that was so similar to it. And I just wish, I was like, well, where was this insight, this wisdom, or just someone to help me navigate this while I was going through it, or to help me before I made number of mistakes that put us in that position in the first place. And I just kept hearing story after story of founders, the real versions of their stories, not the perfectly packaged versions, but the real versions that I thought to myself, man, okay, I'm going to share my experience brutally and honestly with anyone and everyone that it could potentially help. And just kept getting put in touch with founder after founder that was going through a really tough time, that I loved being able to share my experience with them and in a really honest way, and in a way that I felt and kept hearing was really valuable for them to hear, but even more than that, really rare for them to hear. The thoughts going through my head were, if you could only have heard person X, Y, Z, etc., their real story, the real version, you'd realize it's not so different from your own. And if you could apply the mental framework that they've had to learn from scratch most of the time, you could see the way around the situation you're in or avoid it altogether. And it became an obsession of mine, actually, to start sharing my experience as well as these real stories I kept hearing with early stage founders. The real version of my own story and the real version of these creation myths behind these seemingly infallible companies. And more than that, it was an obsession to learn the different mental frameworks that each leader thought a lot about but rarely talked about. I immediately felt like I should chat with everyone I could and compile these conversations in a book, perhaps, and gathering and sharing the real versions of these stories and the mental frameworks that these world-class leaders developed to navigate their own harrowing and often tumultuous journeys would make for potentially good reading. I know it would have made for great reading for me. So two advisors of mine, Eric Ries and Tucker Max, who have both written multiple New York Times bestsellers, both had the same advice when I told them about this, and that was that I should record all of these conversations and release each one as a podcast as I interview people over the next 18 months or so. So here we are. We're going below the waterline to see the real conditions that put this leader in the seat across from me, as well as going below the waterline to peer into the depths where the great decisions for these individuals have come from, going beneath the surface to see what's really going on. So that's a little bit on the why behind this podcast and why it's called Below the Line. Now on to the what. The first few episodes, I'm absolutely going to be just figuring out what exactly I'm doing. But on that what, and what I'm at least going to start with, is a handful of standard questions. And then each conversation and interview is going to ebb and flow naturally. And I don't want them to. But here are a few of the questions that I hope to touch on with my guests. And we can start by putting me under the fire here as well and seeing how it goes. So first question that I'm really looking forward to asking my guests is, tell me three stories in your life that have shaped who you are. So for me, the three stories that come to mind, the first one is when I was 15. My close friends know this, but I want to share with you all because this is the purpose of this whole concept is to dive deep into the topics below the line that founders don't typically share, but they're things that they think a lot about. And one of the things that shaped my life in a major way that comes to mind, something that was very formative for me when I was 15, was my older sister, who was my closest sibling. She was 3 years older. She passed away. And this is going to be a hallmark of the conversations in my podcast. I'm not going to leave out details. I'm going to tell you the honest details and give you honest answers because I think these stories, they can be so meaningful when shared honestly. So my family struggles with mental illness and depression, and I've been depressed in my life at various points. But for the most part, I've been very lucky to dodge the bullet that affected my sister. And she had deep depression when she was 18, and she took her own life. And it was for a lot of the, it affected me in so many countless dimensions for sure. But it was something that I can consciously say that I'm certainly aware of. But the fact is that from that moment and that experience, I approach each day feeling like life is extremely precious. And each day that we have is extremely precious. And so I try to make the most out of every single day that I have. And that's certainly one of the most formative experiences that I've ever had because that cliche of life is precious. Sometimes you need a really intense experience to appreciate it. So that's first story. Second story is I could probably sum up my 20s with one story, and that's I failed a lot in my 20s. And throughout these episodes, you'll learn more and more about my story and in my background. But suffice it to say, a short version of something that I think a lot about, and I mean eternally, both of these first two stories, well, all three of them I'm eternally grateful for. But when I think about what has shaped my life and try to distill it into three key stories, one that certainly is at the top of the list is my 20s. I was just trying things left and right. I mean, I still am. I'm 32 now, but 10 years of building companies, about 12 years total since I started in college, of building things. It's hard not to look back at my 20s and just say, wow, that was just a lot of trial and error and basically just a lot of error. And it is, like I said, I am extremely grateful for it. But started three companies. None of them exist today. Started countless projects. None of them really exist today. And, you know, my summary on something like LinkedIn will give the above-the-line version, which is I sold a company to Airbnb and then have invested in a few multi-billion dollar companies as an angel investor. And yes, that is true, but it's certainly not the story that I think a lot about. And it's certainly not a story that's helped shape my life compared to the below the line version of just a decade of trying things constantly and them usually not working out. And I love that I've had that experience because I feel like it is the foundation. Everything that I've tried to and kind of failed or fallen forward with, it will be the foundation for anything I do in the next 60 years of my career. And each step forward was certainly, it was movement. It was progress in its own way. But it is something that I look back and say, yeah, I don't have much to show for all of the activity of that decade. But I do have a reservoir of scars, earned insights, and things that I think will be extremely formative for the next few decades. But I'm also comfortable where I am in life to where I don't necessarily need it to be. So it's interesting. I one part of me says it's foundational. Another part of me just says it is. I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be, doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And it's the culmination of just 10 years of trying things and them not necessarily working out, but me being able to let go of needing them to work out and realizing just the experiences alone have made them worth it. All right, story number three. Last story that has helped shape my life and one that I think a lot about but don't talk a lot about is my daughter. I mentioned a few minutes ago that there are cliches out there that you just sometimes need to experience to realize. And every cliche about having a child is absolutely true. It is so crazy. The whole, like the phrase, melt my heart, I had no idea what the hell people were talking about when they'd say, melt your heart. But I see my 15-month-old just walking towards me in the mornings, and there's no other way of describing it. It is so unreal. And makes me wish, me and my wife both say, I wish we had started earlier because it's just such a transcendent experience. People here in Silicon Valley, they talk a lot about, or at least it's a topic du jour, talk about psychedelic experiences. And I gotta say, the most mind-bending, mind-altering experience of my life has actually been in having our daughter. It's hard to think of anything more mind-bending than having a child and reorienting your perspective, at least for me. And 15 months in, I know it's going to be one of the most formative experiences of my life. Just, I look back and I can see this clear break and split in my life of before and after. And before of thinking about myself or my wife and I in our life too, just right after, just thinking about my daughter and thinking about her life and completely reorienting my perspective. So those are three stories that have shaped my life. And that's a question that I can't wait to ask my guests. Another question that I plan to ask my guests, and it's similar and related to the first one, but it is, what is something you think a lot about, but you rarely ever get a chance to talk about? Well, my quick answer to that is I think a lot about philosophy. And those close to me know that I think about it a lot, but it never really comes up socially or professionally as something that you know makes sense to talk a whole lot about. But if you care a lot about philosophy and you've got great resources for it, shoot me a note at askbelowtheline@gmail.com. It's something that I'm always looking for great online, offline resources for. Some of the best philosophy is absolutely in books. Some of it is best found by sitting quietly under a tree, to be honest. But I've actually found YouTube to be a great resource for diving into interpretations of different great philosophers over time. There are a number of lectures from Stanford or Yale from their philosophy and departments that you can listen to on YouTube. It's really such a great resource. And personally, and over the last 5-6 years, I've become most interested in Eastern philosophy. I grew up learning about Western philosophy. I was raised Catholic, and you know, the Western sense of philosophy is very Greco-Roman based, and there's phenomenal wisdom within things like Greek philosophy. But I have come to really appreciate Eastern philosophy, and I owe a lot of that to my parents. My dad taught us to meditate when we were very little, when I was like 8 years old, and introduced us to Buddhism at a young age. And even though we're at church every Sunday and we're very, very clearly raised Catholic, there was an interwoven awareness of the tenets of Buddhism. And I really appreciate that. It was kind of a quirky thing in Dallas, Texas in the 80s and 90s to get exposed to. But when I graduated school and I lived in South Africa for a few years on my own, pretty solitarily there for a while, I began to look much more closely at my worldviews, some different ones out there that I hadn't given a whole lot of thought to, and began looking more closely into Eastern philosophy, the philosophy that I was introduced to casually as a child. I really love Buddhism and many of the tenets within Buddhism. And an adage about Buddhism is that it's Hinduism made for export. So Hinduism starting in India and Buddhism also beginning in India and making its way to China and then Japan. Hinduism is the underlying philosophy of Buddhism. And the underlying philosophy of Hinduism, which is equally fascinating, not the caricaturized version of 3,000 gods and the version that you kind of learn in, you know, 20th century America, where it doesn't do it justice, but the intellectual tenets of Hinduism are just phenomenally, just super deep and thoughtful. And I loved exposing myself to that as well as Buddhism. But I'd actually say that the philosophy that I think immensely about, or more so than perhaps any other, is the source of Hinduism, which predates Hinduism, and it's a school of thought called Vedanta. And it is something that I may weave it into the episodes here and there, but it is just a very thought-provoking worldview. And one that I find extremely fascinating. And I love thinking about this stuff because I think it's just, there's so much wisdom in the thousands of years of this type of mythology with a capital M. I don't want to take anything away from it by calling it a mythology, but there's so much wisdom in these stories that have lasted 5,000 years. So much wisdom in Christianity as well. There's so much wisdom. And there's a reason that these stories have lasted longer than any empire or country or basically any human structure, anything we've created, that when you take a deep look at them and not trivialize them, but take a, at least when I have taken a deeper look at them, in moments in life where I could have let them go, I always found something to really appreciate about them. So that's something that I think a lot about. So that's two of the questions that I'll ask my guests, and I hope to dive into these topics with them and many more topics that they think a lot about, but ones that they might not get a chance to talk a lot about. Like I've said, the episodes will all differ, and all of them will ebb and flow with natural conversation, as they should. But as part of the preparation for this book, it will all focus on learning about the stories from below the waterline for these individuals. And focus on the versions of the stories that you don't hear these founders or leaders talk much about, but trust me, they are the versions that they think a lot about. I also plan to touch on the research from the smartest psychologists, neurologists, researchers, sports psychologists, executive coaches, everyone that I can chat with that can provide insights for how the 10 million plus entrepreneurs in the U.S. alone should and could strive to approach each day in ways that can help them find their flow and meet their potential. So I'm really excited. So with that, I invite you to join me in these conversations, and I really appreciate you taking the time to listen. Thanks. Friends and listeners, thank you all for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode or you enjoy Below the Line in general, go ahead and subscribe on the iTunes podcast app or leave a quick review. We love those, basically because we love hearing from people that find value from these kinds of conversations. And leaving a review, good or bad, is a great way to encourage more of this dialogue and lets us know that people are enjoying it. So we appreciate those. You can also follow us on Twitter at Below the Line Podcast and tweet us questions anytime. Or you can email us at askbelowtheline@gmail.com. That's Below the Line Podcast on Twitter and askbelowtheline@gmail. I have no idea why those are different, but anyhow, I'm your host, James Bechara, and this has been another episode of Below the Line. Until next time.
Below the Line with James Bechara is brought to you by Straight Up Podcasts.